Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning how we as Christians should react when we're up against an impossible situation. The message is called The Salvation of the Lord, so let's turn to Exodus 14 as we go back to basics.
When Israel left Egypt, had they gone the normal route, they could have reached the Gaza area in about 10 days. But God had a different plan. His plan was to take them by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, a longer and more difficult way, but a way that would provide God with ample opportunity to show his care and power to his people. The Lord will often do the same thing today. If given the option, we would probably, all of us, take the easiest road in every situation. I know that I certainly would. But the easy road doesn't usually provide us with a whole lot of opportunities to see God work. And since God wants to work in our lives, he will at times lead us down the more difficult path just to show himself strong on our behalf. Not only will the Lord at times lead us down a difficult path, sometimes he will put us in what seems to be, from the human standpoint, an impossible situation. I have to say, I've talked to people in the past few months who, as they tell me their story, as they tell me about what's going on in their lives, I think to myself, man, that is challenging. And in some cases, from the human standpoint, it does seem that they are up against impossible odds. So what do we do if we find ourselves in a situation like that? Perhaps that's where you're at today. Well, we need to do the same thing the Lord instructed the children of Israel to do when they found themselves in an impossible situation, where there they were, backed up against the sea with Pharaoh's army closing in. And in the 13th verse of this 14th chapter, we have God's instruction. God had spoken to Moses, and now Moses is giving that instruction to the people. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So here is Israel, an impossible situation. Back against the sea, mountain ranges on both sides, Pharaoh's army pressing in. It seems like a hopeless situation, but God has a plan. God is going to do the unthinkable. And so he gives the people this great instruction. And I have to tell you that the words that we just read here have so often been an encouragement to me and so often ministered to me. Pastor Phil and I, a few days ago, we went over to visit our good friend Bob Hoekstra and to pray for Bob. And as I've mentioned to you several times, Bob's been suffering with a real mysterious illness. Mayo Clinic hasn't even begun or been able to diagnose what's going on with him at this point. So anyway, we went over to see him and we spent some time praying with him. And as I was walking out the door, I just felt led to say, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And when I said it to Bob, he got a twinkle in his eye and he said, "That's the exact word the Lord's been giving me." So this is a portion of scripture that has brought encouragement and comfort to God's people all throughout the ages. So let's just break down the instruction that the people were given here. First of all, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We have an inclination and a tendency toward being afraid, especially when we can't see what's up ahead, especially when we're not sure about our future. It's a very normal and a very typical response of everybody. Now you get your odd person here or there who says, "Oh, I'm not afraid of anything." Okay, well, I wish I was there. But I have to confess, there have been many times in my life when I have been afraid. But this admonition from God to man to not be afraid is repeated over and over again in Scripture. Why? Because of the tendency on our part to be fearful. Let me remind you of some of the places. Genesis 15:1, God speaking to Abraham, he says, "Fear not, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Abraham was fearful that he might be attacked and there might be a retaliation against him for his involvement in overthrowing these certain kings. God says, "Fear not, I am your shield." Isaiah 41:10, the Lord speaking says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, he said, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore." God knows everything about you. He's numbered the hairs on your head. Don't be afraid. Jesus then would say, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then again, we find Jesus saying this in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So be it. True. And I have the keys of hell and death." Those are great words of encouragement. What's the word? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is with us. Don't be afraid. The Lord is our shield. Don't be afraid. The Lord is going to strengthen us, and he's upholding us with his righteous right hand. Don't be afraid. He knows all about our lives. He's numbered the hairs that are on our head. Don't be afraid. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom and to take care of us until we get there. Don't be afraid. The worst thing that could possibly happen is death and hell, but Jesus has conquered it. He has the keys over or of hell and death. And so this is that first word that God speaks. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And whatever the situation that you find yourself in today that's causing you to be fearful, the Lord says to you, do not be afraid. Know that he's with you. Know that he has a plan and a purpose that he's going to accomplish. But then the second thing he says here is that they were to not only not be afraid, but they were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, standing still, and I think it's not a word that they were not to do anything, because we're going to see in a moment they were to do something. But when he says stand still, it's kind of like what we read there in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You see, what happens when we are fearful is that we oftentimes go into a panic. Fear brings on panic. And panic causes us to act frantically. And so, you know, when fear strikes us, we go into a panic, and then we just start sort of going in every which direction. And in the end, we're not really going anywhere. We're just sort of going in circles. We become frantic, and when we become frantic, we start to act irrationally. We're no longer thinking through the situation. We're quite often no longer remembering the promises of God. We go into an irrational sort of a spin out. And we start thinking and imagining and even plotting things that under normal circumstances we would never think of. See, this is all the things that come along with this kind of fear that can strike us. But the Lord's word to us is be still. Stand still. In other words, the idea here is to be calm, to rest in faith, and to watch and see what God will do. Watch and see what God will do, because he's promised to do something. And faith says, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to act frantically. I'm not going to become irrational and start making all kinds of bad decisions. And of course, in that state, what we also often fail to do is to pray. We don't pray. We don't stop and say, Lord, what am I to do? Well, if we did, God would say, be still and know that I'm God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, God has something that he is going to do in this situation. Now, like I said a few moments ago, I have met people, and it seems recently that I have had conversations with people who, when they have told me the situations they're going through, I'll tell you, I've just thought, Lord, this is crazy. Lord, what is going on? And the only thing I've been able to do is to say to these people, look, your situation is so impossible from a human standpoint, it must mean that God's got something great in store for you, so you have just got to trust him and wait to see what happens. There's a young girl who's in one of our schools here, and I was in a conversation with her one day. Actually, she came up and asked me for prayer because of a situation that's going on in her family. And when she told me what was happening, it had to do with some legal action that was being taken against the family and all of this. And as she told me the story, it was astounding that here this godly family, this Christian family, who have done nothing except sought to reach out and love to their neighbors, just a really bizarre twist on things. And there's been harassment by the police and threats of jail and all kinds of just really bizarre kinds of things. Something that you would see in a TV docudrama or something, you know. And man, as she was telling me that, my heart was breaking. And then I ended up getting into contact with her family. I spoke to her mother on the phone, and I have a friend who's an attorney, and I tried to kind of get them hooked up. But anyway, through this whole process, I talked to her just a few days ago. And at one point, this poor young gal, she was really almost on the verge of a nervous breakdown. A lot of this attack was coming right directly at her, where they had had a warrant out for her arrest and all of this insane stuff for things that she did not even do. So anyway, as I talked to her the other day, I noticed that she was smiling. I noticed that she was a little more lighthearted. And I asked her how things were going. And she began to tell me how God is working this thing out. And it was so encouraging because when we talked at first, from her perspective and from the perspective of her family, it just didn't seem like there was any way out of the situation. But just entrusting it to the Lord, just recognizing God is at work here, and don't worry, he's got a plan. You know, Amy Carmichael used to say that God is seldom early, but he's never late. And that's a truth. He's seldom early. In other words, he lets things go right down to the wire. We see that right here. These guys, their back is up against the sea, and Pharaoh's army is closing in. And boy, Lord, it looks like we are had. It looks like we're not going to survive. And right at the last minute, boom, God comes through. And he still works in that way many times today. So we're to stand still. We're to be calm. We're to rest in faith, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Our part is just to believe God and to rest in him and to know that God is going to take care of this situation. He's going to take care of the situation. And then Moses reminds them, he says, "The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace." The battle belongs to the Lord. And sometimes we will find ourselves in a situation where there's opposition or something coming against us. And, you know, quite often, I have to confess that I myself, quite often, I am tempted to fight for myself many times. And when I'm tempted to fight for myself, the Lord will sort of tap me on the shoulder, so to speak, and just say, "No, Brian, you don't want to go that direction. The battle's not yours. The battle is mine. Let me fight the battle for you." And that's what Moses is saying to the people here. He's saying that the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So there's that place where we are just, what Moses is describing here is just a complete trust in God. We've done everything we know to do. We've exhausted every possible resource perhaps. And it seems now that the only remaining thing is to just go down with the ship. But guess what? The ship's not going down. God's got a plan. He's going to work the situation out. And so we need to remember that the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Years ago, when I was suffering with an illness, a serious season of suffering. And along sometimes with illness, you know, those of you that have battled chronic kinds of illnesses or things like that, you know, a lot of times right alongside of that physical affliction, there is a spiritual battle that is taking place. The enemy takes advantage of our weaknesses and he comes in and he just tries to discourage us and tries to ruin us and tries to overthrow our faith. And those things happen. And I was in the midst of something like that. And it was a situation where, you know, I kept forgetting that the battle belonged to the Lord. And I kept trying to take it back into my own hands and try to sort of fight the enemy off in my own ability through my reason and those kinds of things. But, you know, when you're physically weakened, everything else is weakened as well. And the Lord had been speaking to me just very subtly in my heart to just rest in him, to know that he would take care of it. But I just, for whatever reason, I just kept thinking that, you know, I have to fight through this myself. And there I was in a place of deep depression and on the verge of despair. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there. And I asked Cheryl to hand me, I wanted to jot something down, so I asked her if she would hand me a little piece of paper that was across the room. And she picked up a little card and she tossed it to me. And it, you know, floated through the air and flipped a couple of times. And it landed right on my little tray there. And it landed face up with these words, "The battle is the Lord's. He will fight for you." And I thought, okay, God, I got the message. And he did. He fought for me. I'm still here. I'm still, I survived. So, but we need to know that. The battle is the Lord's. He will fight for us, and we can hold our peace. We don't have to fight for ourselves. Now, the Lord goes on to say to them that they are to go forward. I think this is very significant because whenever we find ourselves up against these kinds of overwhelming circumstances or these seemingly impossible situations from the human standpoint, one thing that tends to happen a lot is the enemy wants to, of course, just sort of stop us in our tracks. He wants to immobilize us. He wants to bring us to that place where we quit, we give up. But look, the Lord says to Moses, tell the people to go forward. And this is what the Lord says to us. He says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see my salvation. I will fight for you. You will hold your peace. You go forward. You keep moving ahead in your relationship with the Lord. You keep moving ahead in whatever it is that God has called you to do. Don't let these things stop you or impede you or bring you to that place where you're just, you know, dragging yourself along, but keep moving forward in what you know to be God's call and God's plan and God's purpose for your life, because in just a matter of time, God will remove these issues and you're going to see that, glad I didn't stop. Glad I didn't slow down. Glad I kept making progress, because it's all clear sailing ahead for a while anyway. But you might say, okay, Pastor Brian, that all sounds good, you know, but my situation is different. My situation is impossible. I cannot even begin to imagine. I can't see how this thing could ever turn around and somehow be a blessing. I can't see it. But you see, that's okay, because God can see it. I am absolutely convinced that the last thing the Israelites ever thought was going to happen in this situation was that the sea behind them was going to part and they were going to walk through on dry land. If Moses would have said, okay, I just talked to the Lord and he said, come up with a plan and then he'll implement it, I don't think a single one of them would have said, tell God to part the sea and we'll walk through it on dry ground. Because that was something that would have never entered their mind.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Salvation of the Lord, and the resource number is OBB514. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.